You know, the more our hearts are changed, the more they're like Jesus. Amen. If they're changed in the right direction. Now, you know, this morning is time for the quarterly church conference. So if you'll reach up and turn your hearing speed up about two or three notches, I'll turn my preaching speed up two or three notches, and we'll get down, we'll get done in time for the conference. And some of these people with hearing aids are already turning theirs off, so... I hope this morning that I can sort of nudge you in the direction of having a better picture of who you are and what you have and your authority as a believer in Jesus Christ. Sort of change your self-image of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Let me start with this illustration. Now, suppose tomorrow morning your doorbell rings about 9 o'clock and these two well-dressed men are there and they say they're lawyers. They ask for your name and you tell them, they say, you got any ID? And you pull out your driver's license and show it to them. And they said, we've been looking for you for a couple of years. You are the recipient of a $100 million inheritance. Now, first, in today's culture, first thing is, boy, this is the biggest scam I've ever heard. But they don't ask you for any money. They just say, meet me at the courthouse this afternoon at 2 o'clock and we'll go before a judge and we'll transfer all this money to you. And they leave and you think, man, I still think it's a scam, but it's only going to take an hour of my time to drive down to the courthouse, a little bit of gas, and I need to go to Walmart anyway, so I'll just go on down to the courthouse. And you get down there, and you find out it's all legitimate. You go before a judge, you sign some papers, and he hands you a briefcase full of papers that indicate $100 million worth of investments. And suddenly your whole life has changed because you've gone from being barely getting along to being super rich. You think, wow, what am I going to do with $100 million. Well, this morning, I hope that you can come to an understanding of how rich you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, all of us are different. Depending on who your parents were, your grandparents, the church you went to, with the pastors you went to, Sunday school teachers you had, other church leaders you had, neighbors, all of us have had different experiences. I'm just going to share mine. And as I share mine, yours may jive at places and may not. Now, 50 years ago or so, well, more than that, when I became a Christian, the idea was Christians were people at first who loved Jesus. They loved Jesus with all their heart. But Christians were also usually poor and often sick. Because, after all, God kept you poor to keep you humble. And he kept you sick because you kept messing up. And you know, that's still prevalent. I talked to a precious lady yesterday. She's in her 80s. And she kept saying, you know, why did God make all these problems for me? God didn't make all those problems for her. I talked to another man this week on the telephone. And he mentioned a certain tragedy that's happened. And he said, you know, I think God must have got those people back. No, God didn't get those people back. But you know, that was the mindset of the people with whom I grew up and what I was taught. And you know, also, Satan was a real powerful force. How many of you were told when you were a little kid, if you do that, the boogeyman's going to get you? If you don't quit doing that, the boogeyman's going to get you. And we knew that was the devil. And we looked for the boogeyman under the bed, in the closet. If we had to walk down the road in the middle of the night, we walked in the middle of the road in the dark because that might give us just a slim chance of getting away if the boogeyman jumped out of the bushes and tried to grab us. We lived in fear of the devil. I won't try to sing them. But what about the songs? I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this weary world of woe. Or, when this weary life is over, I'll fly away, oh glory. And I hope, eventually, I'll have a little cabin in the corner of glory land. You know, weren't we a pitiful bunch? The whole mindset was that to be a Christian was to be saved, and it was better than not be saved because we're going to go to heaven and not hell. But it was a weary land. It was a weary journey. It was just a time of trouble and woe until we finally got to glory. It's like, you know, we was walking in mud up to our knees, trying to make it in this old world. And some of us are still living that way. Some of us are still living that way. But is that the New Testament picture of a Christian? Now, every scripture we're going to look at, I could make a whole sermon on, but I won't do that. But let's just take a little quick survey of the New Testament and look at what the New Testament says about believers. First, and we'll start sort of near the end of the New Testament and go back toward the front. 1 John 4:4. Not the Gospel of John. 1 John 4:4. And it talks about the position, the authority, the power, the glory of the believer in some of these scriptures we're going to look at. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That totally contradicts that old, the boogeyman's going to get you theory. God says that as a believer, you have more power. The God, the Jesus, the Holy Spirit that lives in you is more powerful than the devil. That's why in other places the scriptures can says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Give no place to the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand and stand in that evil day. Over and over and over again, the New Testament depicts a believer as somebody who walks in victory over Satan. And that's awesome. We shouldn't be teaching our kids, oh, the devil's going to get you. We should be teaching our kids, you are a child of God. And God lives in you. And because God lives in you, you can walk in power and victory and authority. I mean, the devil tempted Jesus. The devil tested Jesus. The devil opposed Jesus. But who won every time? Jesus. And when you became a believer, that same Jesus moved into your heart. That same Jesus that defeated the devil every time moved into your heart. And so we need to learn to walk in victory. Now flip back a few pages to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at the descriptive words they use to describe Christians. Chosen, royal priesthood, holy, peculiar. Now, I know when you say peculiar, you're thinking, yeah, I know some peculiar Christians. That's not what he's talking about. Talking about Christians that are different, that stand out from the world. And that because of our, you know, if you're chosen, that means you're special. If you're a priest, that means you're special. And if you're not just a ordinary priest, but a royal priest, that means you're extra special. You see, those descriptive terms of believers are saying, listen, in the eyes of God, you're more special than you ever realize. You're more precious than you ever realize. You're more honorable. You're more awesome. I know we've got a song that talks about we're just a poor worm. And we were sinners. But God changed us into saints. You said, well, the lady I was talking with yesterday said, well, I'm no saint. I said, yes, you are. You think about it. Paul wrote to Corinthians. And you remember they had all kind of troubles going in Corinth. And what did he write when he began the book? And to the saints which are at Corinth. You think, well, you know, those people in Corinth were just like us. They had their problems. But Paul called them saints. That means they were set apart for God. You are a saint. Now, we may not have a little statue of you with a little halo over your head and all that kind of jazz, but you are a special child of God. And we need to realize that. You know, you can just see certain kids. And I don't mean an arrogance, but they've just got a bounce, a smile, because they know they're special to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. They just have a little bounce to themselves because they know they're special. You're special to the Father in heaven. You're special. And don't let the devil convince you otherwise. Going back a little further to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 5 and 6. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, you're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Now, if you were an English scholar, I hope you caught something in all three of these passages we've read. They're all present tense. They're not past tense. They're not future tense. They say, oh yeah, I know we're going to reign with Christ in the millennium and in eternity. These are present tense verses. You are seated with Christ. Now, he sees you as seated with him in the heavenly places. He sees you as in a place of authority. Now, you have and hath raised us up and made us, not will make us, but has made us sit together in heavenly places, place of authority. Let's go to one more, Romans 5. And this is the one that really got me started earlier, sometime last week, I guess. And I read this and I thought, man, I've never seen this before. Romans 5, verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. In other words, Adam sinned, and because Adam sinned, death reigned. Not R-A-I-N like wet stuff from the sky, but reigned, like R-E-I-G-N, like ruled. Because of Adam's sin, death has ruled our world ever since. People die. Plants die. Trees die. Animals die. Everything has a death cycle. And along with death comes sickness and disease and poverty and troubles and trials and all of the other crime and all the other miserable things that are a part of our world. Adam sinned by one man and death reigned. Now he says, starting in verse 17, much more. If something's much more, it's not just equal with, it's not just more than. He says it's much more than. They which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. It's those who believe in Jesus Christ, much more than death, they receive an abundance of grace, they receive the gift of righteousness, and they reign in life by one. They reign in life. They rule in life. They're in control of life. In other words, the devil may throw all kinds of troubles and trials and things at you, but you still always come out to the top. It's like, you know, you push something down the water, but it floats right back up. You push it down and it floats right back up. The devil can do all kinds of things to try to give you troubles and trials and tribulations. The devil say, you can't ever overcome that sin. Yes, you can. You can't ever overcome that bad habit. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can reign or rule in your life. Now, you can't rule and reign in my life. You can give me some suggestions. I can't rule and reign in your life, but you can rule and reign in your life. It's just like, you know, in a school, you've got a principal, and then you've got teachers. Now, in a sense, that English teacher's ruling and reigning in his or her class. And over here, the algebra teacher's doing the same thing. They can't be in control of one another. They may share some ideas, but they're ruling and reigning in their own individual class. Now, they're all under the principal. And we're all under our Heavenly Father. But you have a control over your life. And he says, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rule and reign. And because of that, you can walk with a joy. You can walk with a happiness. You can walk with a, you know, you can have hurts and rejections and disappointments and still come out with a smile on your face and joy in your heart because you are ruling and reigning in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have friends, well, really all over the world. And they have the same troubles that you have, that I have. And it's just like they always rise to the top. They always come out victorious. They may have a few scars and scabs, but they always come out walking in victory. You know, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave His life for us. Now, folks, that's a whole different picture than going through this weary land before we fly away. I'd like to rule and reign. I like to see God's glory in my life. I like to see God's glory in your life. Now, just like that opening illustration, you could have that $100 million, nobody tells you about it. Or you can take that briefcase home with all those investments in and stick it in a closet and still live like a pauper or you can begin to use what's yours. It's the same way as a Christian. I can't make you use what I've just shared with you. I can only tell you about it. I can only encourage you to take these scriptures and just read the rest of the New Testament and see all the wonderful, joyous, glorious things that God has for his children. I mean, you know, what was it said about that early church? Those folks that have turned the world upside down have come to our town too. Wow. They weren't sneaking around, browbeaten. You know, some of them gave their life, yes. Some of them were martyrs, yes. But even as martyrs, they gave such a glorious testimony of what Jesus Christ meant to them that others came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Folks, God looks at you as somebody special. God looks at you as somebody wonderful. God sees you as somebody valuable and precious. God has for you power and authority to live and reign in your life. It's up to you to open that briefcase and begin to spend the fortune that's yours as a child of God. As we have our invitation, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If you need to come to the altar in some way, we invite you to come.